It's time for another Tom and Shane podcast or video or whatever you want to call it here on YouTube and Facebook Live and LinkedIn. We're on Twitter, anywhere. We're all over the place, Shane. So, but hey, we've got a fun show today because we want to talk about reparations. Do we owe for the sins of our fathers? Reparations have been in the news quite a bit as to who gets them. Normally, it's the slave ancestors who seem to be at the front of the line, Shane, but we wanted to talk about a couple other folks that are also in line or should be in line. If we're going to pay people for doing them wrong in the past, then I think at the head of the line should be an American Indian. I mean, talk about people being screwed over by the government with treaties and put on reservations and all of that stuff. Where do we stand on the Indians?
Well, there's no question that, you know, the Indians have a clearly important place in the American history, but it's important to, you know, understand that the U.S. pays out $20 billion every year annually to Indians and indigenous people, of which there's about 6.8 million in your country. So, you know, this has been going on for close to 100 years. And so they've been amply paid and provided for. The reason that there's such a discrepancy and a claim of poverty with American Indians is the responsibility of the tribes. Under the Treaty of 1887, the United States segregated control of tribal lands to the tribes themselves. The tribes elect councils. They're all corrupt. And so most of the money ends up in the hands of the council and particularly the chiefs and doesn't get down to the people. It's a known fact. I mean, this isn't a big surprise to anyone. And, of course, no one's been prosecuted for it. And it just continues to be.
Yeah. Well, a couple of years ago, John Stossel did a study of this, and the reservations that are running it themselves are very prosperous. They got their own banks. They make loans. They do all these things to various groups, and they're living well. They have nice houses. They have nice reservations and all of that. And the ones that are funded and totally controlled by the government are in poverty. They're alcohol use, drug use, everything is just not very good. So,
well, we know the government doesn't run anything well.
There was a
classic court decision made 30 years ago that allowed Indian tribes on tribal lands to have casinos. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question that Indians, indigenous people of America, are capable, intelligent, and some sure. tribes more than mm-hmm. others. It's the same with us in Canada. It's the same policy in our confederation. Yeah. Some tribes that are led well are very wealthy, and other tribes are just in a dismal situation. And you know, our country is paying out this year $41 billion because of everything that's come out about the abuse of children in the last 100 years or 150 years in Canada. So. It's a remarkable thing, but just to give you an example, in Canada over the last 60 years, First Nations has received from the federal government $215 billion, and they just announced $41 billion to try and somehow help. We have tribal villages in regional rural areas that they have no running water, no bathrooms, mm-hmm. no power, no fresh water. I mean, it's horrific. It truly is another example of how federal government, centrally located, is a fallacy. They cannot do the job they're supposed to. They just can't get it done.
Yeah. Well, next we've got to talk about the Japanese, because in World War II, Japanese were rounded up. They were put in internment camps, much like the Uyghurs, I guess, in China are.
That's right.
Yeah, we rounded them all up, took their property, took their commodities, took everything they owned, and in many cases, they never got it back.
No, that's not true. 82,219 Japanese were interned between 2020 excuse me, 2040, two and the end of the war. And the U.S. In 1992 dispersed $1.6 billion to those families, which would be the equivalent of about $3.5 million in 2020, you know, back 100 years ago. It's probably it's not anywhere near what was taken, you know, because.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
$3.5 billion.
It was the descendants that got the money, not the people who were actually interned, because a lot of them were either, you know, very senior citizens or dead 50 years later. So, you know.
But today's conversation is do we pay out? Do we provide? Do we care for people? You know, and pay out some kind of reparations. In the case of the Japanese, that happened. They did it.
Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the black slave trade. Are the ancestors of people who were slaves, are they do anything? And if so, how do we do that?
Go ahead, please.
I was going to say, just let me set this up and then you can comment. Sure. Let's say we've got Joe, who's a descendant of a slave. All right. Joe has a wife and a couple of kids. And then we've got Bob over here, who's a single black. And so Bob gets X dollars and the family gets X dollars more. And if Bob gets married and has a kid, do they get more money? When does it end? I mean, do you just pay one and then the further ancestors don't get anything at all?
Well, first of all, since 1965 in the Great Society of Lyndon Johnson, $22 trillion has been paid out in social programs. We've talked about this a bit.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of the $22 trillion, $17 trillion directly went to African Americans. So they've already been provided since 1965 with great reparations. It's destroyed their society. We've discussed that. Why? Because of the guidelines that, you know, to be paid out and everything. Mm-hmm. But this isn't just a math problem. I mean, in 2019, when this first came up, the Office of Budget and Management did a study, said it would be $51 trillion for reparations of the existing African, Americans. And there's about 43 million presently in the United States, but it's not just an American problem. Of the slaves that were brought to the New World, 10 million ended up in the United, in 10 million ended up in Brazil, 12.5 million ended up in the United States, and over 3 million ended up in the Caribbean. Now you say, why the Caribbean? Well, because the Spanish wiped out the indigenous people of all the islands in the Caribbean with disease. Mm-hmm. So they had to repopulate them with slaves. And Brazil was such a giant country of the Portuguese who claimed it. They were the biggest slave traders. And so that's why they moved slaves into Brazil to start developing it. So, you know, you've got far more people that were enslaved in the Caribbean and South America, you know, over 13 million regards to the United States, 12.5 million. Now, I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying, you know, if you think our problem's big, it's bigger for other people. If the world, and the UN and the great plurocracy out there wants to create, this opportunity of some type of reparation.
Yeah, when the United States was in the process of ending slavery, the African hierarchy went over to Europe and said, "You can't do this. You got to help us out here. You got to take some of these folks because that's our livelihood." But I still get back to the, whether it's an Indian, whether it's a Japanese American, or whether it's a black. Or person of color, whatever term you want to use, I still don't understand who gets the money. If we're going to directly pay someone who is a direct descendant of a slave, does grandpa get it and then disperse it to the kids, or does dad get it and disperse it to grandma and grandpa and the kids? Do the kids not get anything? Is there a difference between a single person and a family of 5 or 6 or 10 or whatever? That's what I don't see. It's easy to say, yeah, these people need to be paid back. They need some money, but figuring out how to give it to them.
No, look, the simple solution, solve the problem. Here's how you solve the problem. Right now, annually, your country pays $668 billion in social programs annually. So there's over 100 social programs, as we've talked about.
126.
So, yeah, wipe them all out. Cancel mm-hmm. them. Now you get rid of all that government and all that wasted money. And the money you save by canceling all those programs, getting rid of all those people you're paying to do nothing, you know, but take the $668 billion plus what you're saving, which will hit $1 trillion, and just send a check to every person out there. Grandfathers, mothers, just split it all up and everyone gets a check like Social Security. There you go.
Yeah.
That's
we'll it. See it. Yeah. That's yeah, it's all, the, yeah. Yeah, it's the Andrew Yang plan. $1,000 a month to everybody.
And no. I'm gonna take $1 trillion and split it amongst the 43 million black people in the country. And if you want to include Hispanics, you know, they're at 48 million right now, heading towards 52. You know, and East Indians, and of course, you know, the Asians. I mean, you know, you go, you know. You know, right now you're paying out to 70 billion people or 70 million people Social Security. Well, over 70 million. So, you know, so 80 million people get a check every month from all the social welfare as they collapse and get rid of all the people in government that are used to supposedly take care of people and just send them the money. Let them be responsible themselves, solve the problem and the political problem.
I was pointing out that Andrew Yang, when he ran for president, one of his plans was $1,000 a month to everybody. Wasn't talking about blacks or anybody else. So just talk
about this. Yeah, we talked about this.
Wait.
What? You've already said it twice. We talked about this on Saturday. Yang, I brought up the fact who in the debates had a little tag on his, it said math. And he's the one who brought up this concept of send everyone a check every month, like $1,000. And tax it, and the revenue generated, and the revenue generated from other taxes collected, you could continue to do this indefinitely, and Americans, you know, with the AI and all the other things coming, well, if they want to work, they can, but they continue to get a check, and you know, and so they work, they make another $1,600 a month plus $1,000, yeah. And so the you know everyone laughed at him during the debate. And then with COVID and, of course, the Green New Deal, you know, the Democrats looked at it and said, oh, this is a great idea. Why don't we do it? And that's what they've done for 2 years. So,
Yeah, that's what I said. What any problem to send, pull $3 trillion out of nowhere and send everybody a check. So,
well, but remember, the way they've done this, though, is they haven't directly created the debt. It's virtual debt that they've sent to the different departments of your government who have sent it to different states, and the states have sent it down to people and deposited directly in their accounts. So it's a hidden debt that doesn't show up on your debt because of the virtual way that they paid it out. Yeah. And so, yes, people have spent the money. Yes, people have saved the money. Yes, people have paid bills off with the money. But the reality is it does exist. It is out there because even virtually, it's circulating in the economy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. So, well, that's where we find ourselves, you know, with this. We're not going to solve it today, that's for sure.
Oh, sure we are. We solved three problems already today. Okay.
Well, it's a little more complicated than what we've been talking about.
Nothing's complicated.
It's complicated.
No, the simplest solution is always the right one.
Well, you're dealing with government. I mean, come on. They're gonna write a 3,000-page bill to do this. Come on, Shane. I mean,
well, of course,
it's not a one-sheet piece of paper that says we're paying everybody.
But your government doesn't want to solve problems. If they solve problems, they have less need of them meeting, you know, and getting together and having conference committees and trips and you know and the whole thing. I mean, it's a lot easier not to spend problem or solve problems. It's just a lot better to complain about solving them and
that
saying
would be
you will.
True.
And you've seen for, what, 100 years the Democrats do that between racism and the promise of things, you know, none of which they've done, and being the racist party of your country, you know. I mean, yeah. Everybody knows this. So it's just, that's just the way they are. Right. It's interesting because the difference between the two parties is that the demolition party, Democrats, they're wrong. They, you can't point to anything they've done that's been successful. The Republican Party, they're right. And that's because they believe in capitalism and they believe in personal responsibility. Now, is that right or wrong? I don't know. They don't implement it as well as they should. There's a couple of people that have come along and done it. You know, Ronald Reagan did it. Old man Bush tried to, and so did Trump. But, you know, when you have a hedgehog, you know, biting at your heels, it's a tough run.
Yeah, that's for sure. Hey, if you're just joining us on YouTube, why don't you hit the subscribe button and ring the notification bell, because you'll always be notified when we have another one of these. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. And we use StreamYard to produce these programs. And there's a free version of that. And that description is, or that link is in the description below on YouTube. And if you'd like to support us monetarily, hey, we'd love that. That is also, there's a link to that in the description below as well. So, well, as I said, there's so many variables in this. I don't think the government can, I don't even think they're going to even deal with it. They're going to talk about it, but I don't think they're going to. They're not going to deal with it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they don't try to simplify it. They don't try to reduce it to a simple factor. Look at the numbers. How is this best dealt with? How can we solve this? It's much better to use it to, you know, try and separate people into groups like the Demolition Party does, claim they're the minority party, big tent, come vote for us because we're going to do it. That's what they do.
That's what's going to happen. So.
Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, well. Thanks for watching. We appreciate it very much. Well, as I mentioned before, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday. Excuse me. Don't forget, we're on radio, too. Look at the crawl down below. It says Tom and Shane are live every Saturday at 8 to 11 Mountain Time. You can listen live anywhere in the world, KMMSAM.com. No sign up, no email needed, no personal information needed. We are there for you for 3 hours. And also... our past shows are all recorded, including this one, and those are at KMMSAM.com as well. So mark that down, and we hope that we will see you then. So, Shane, thanks a lot, and we'll see everybody on Thursday.